You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. Today, members of the House will be grappling with the fact that late last night, the Senate soundly passed the $700 billion or more plan to rescue the economy with a bipartisan 74-25 vote. Let's turn now to Todd Zwillick, a reporter for Capital News Connection and our friend, for what the Senate embraced and what's ahead for the House. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning.
So what's in the bill that passed?
Well, the old, familiar by now, bailout, well, we're not calling it bailout anymore, rescue plan is in there. A couple of sweeteners. You had the expansion of FDIC insurance from $100,000 to $250,000. And then this package of what are called extenders. And extenders is just another name for a big package of tax breaks that go to business, research and development tax credits, tax credits for renewable fuels, and the annual ritual of the patch for the alternative minimum tax. That was a tax that was a long time ago meant to hit just a couple of wealthy people and wound up bleeding into the middle class. So every year they patch it so that middle class folks don't have to pay it.
Let's talk about the politics first. Clearly, some significance must exist given the fact that it was a bipartisan vote.
Yes. Well, and that was sort of the point. This financial rescue bailout bill, it was actually never a question in the Senate. It's usually the opposite. Usually the House can pass things in lockstep with party loyalty, and then the Senate has all kinds of problems, 60-vote threshold, maverick senators running back and forth. The interesting thing was that this was exactly the opposite. This bill never had an issue in the Senate. It was always going to pass, and the House was always the issue. So the interesting thing was this week, after the bill failed in the House, you saw the Senate kind of say, all right, you've had your chance. We're taking over. We've got a broad bipartisan coalition for this bill. We're going to pass it. We're going to put the pressure on you guys. They've basically backed the House into a corner now. The session is over. Everybody says this is must pass. This is called jamming the House. This is the last choice, guys. It's this or nothing. Even though a lot of House members, Democrats especially, don't like some of these extenders, you'll vote for this or you'll get nothing. That's pretty much what's at stake here.
And included in that vote, both presidential candidates, Republican John McCain and Democrat Barack Obama, both voted for it.
Yeah, they did. And it was quite a scene on Capitol Hill yesterday evening, because not only did you have this huge vote that basically the entire universe was watching, and it's the end of the session, so it was really crowded around there. But then add in both nominees floating in and out of the building and hovering around, complete with Secret Service and their travel pools that travel with their campaigns all the time. Should mention that Joe Biden was in the building. People noticed that, too. So, they both voted for it, probably gave it an extra push.
And, Todd, there is some irony here, which is there was much concern about putting so much of taxpayers' money at risk. Let's listen to how Senator Shelby describes what passed.
We're about to more than double the exposure of the already depleted deposit insurance fund and, by extension, the American taxpayer on a whim.
All the sweeteners that you talked about, how much are they going to add to this bill?
This is part of the controversy between the House and the Senate on these sweeteners, because there is an age-old confrontation between the House and the Senate about paying for these tax extenders and paying for patching the AMT. The long and the short of it is the House has insisted that those extenders and the AMT patch be paid for, i.e. you find revenue somewhere else or make cuts somewhere else. The Senate has said, we don't care about paying for it. Well, now the Senate is sending those back to the House, not paid for or only partially paid for in some cases, and saying to the House, especially House Democrats, last chance, guys. Enjoy voting for a lot of this stuff you oppose, because last chance.
So how do you foresee this discussion moving forward today, given the dynamics that you've just laid out?
Well, I had one that there were not a lot of House members around yesterday because it was still the recess from the Rosh Hashanah holiday. But there were a couple of them floating around, and the few that I ran into, well, not all of them, but a few of them happened to be Democrats, extremely unhappy, and basically said right now the dynamic is a lot of arm twisting and arm snapping and cajoling going on from the leadership. Now, again, this is Democratic and Republican leaderships both favoring this bill, wanting it to pass. Republican leaders have told the Senate, Democratic leaders, when they decided for the Senate to go first on this, that they could deliver enough votes to push this over the line, because Democrats have to maybe count on losing, perhaps, it's hard to tell, maybe losing a couple votes over this pay for issue on these extenders. So Republican leaders have promised that they can deliver quite more than the amount of votes they need to push it over the line. A lot of phone calls, a lot of personal meetings, a lot of group meetings, a lot of convincing, and a lot of head counting today. A lot of head counting going on today.
And probably a whole lot of drama, too. Todd Zwillick, thank you.
My pleasure.
Todd Zwillick, our friend from Capital News Connection. He was reporting from Washington, D.C.